This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
Pennsylvania, the state that you must win on the election. Joe Biden will be here Wednesday night, and now the president says he wants a town hall meeting as well. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210 is the number. On Twitter, at Rich Zeoli, where Bilenio will be monitoring Twitter, and Facebook, facebook.com/Zeoli Show. I should mention to you as well, and I'm going to check in with Dawn and get some headlines in a minute here. I should mention to you as well that with the plot to kidnap Governor Gretchen Whitmer, and again, Trump got blamed for this and fueling extremists and blah, 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 blah. So the governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer, says that it's the fact that the White House gives these extremist groups comfort and support, aid and abetting. You know what I mean? They aid and abet these wacko groups that think they can achieve their political means by, I guess, kidnapping the governor of Michigan. Here is the governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer, after the foiled kidnap plot came to light, blaming the president as usual. Cut number two.
Members of two anti-government Michigan militia groups were arrested as part of an alleged plot to kidnap and then put Governor Gretchen Whitmer on trial for treason. She joins us now from Lansing, Michigan. Good morning to you, Governor. Do you know if this security threat is over? Do you feel safe?
Good morning. I have always felt safe. I am protected by the Michigan State Police, and they are an incredibly professional organization. But I do believe that there are still serious threats that groups like this group, these domestic terrorists, are finding comfort and support in the rhetoric coming out of Republican leadership from the White House to our state house. And so I remain concerned about safety and integrity going up to this election.
Brandon Caserta, who's one of the ringleaders of the group of men who was arrested for this plot to kidnap the governor, guy's an anarchist and a nut, by the way, an anarchist nut. I mean, the two in this usually the same, but some anarchists are not nuts, but this guy's an anarchist nut. Hates cops, hates politicians, and it turns out hates Trump too. Cut number three.
No, Trump is not your friend, dude. And it amazes me that people actually like believe that when he's shown over and over and over again that he's a tyrant. Every single person that works for government is your enemy, dude.
Trump is a tyrant. He's not your friend. So they hate Trump too, but yet somehow Trump's rhetoric is fueling him to come up with a plot to kidnap the governor of Michigan. Got it? Now, I want to contrast this idea of rhetoric with you for a second, all right? So Whitmer says extremist groups are finding comfort and support in the White House rhetoric. Here's Keith Olbermann, certified nut job, who now somehow has a job again, which is amazing to me. This man needs to be evaluated. He really does. He sounds like he's going to write a manifesto and disappear into the woods and grow a beard. I'm telling you, he sounds like he's off his friggin' rocker. This is what he said over the weekend, cut number seven.
Trump can be and must be expunged. The hate he has triggered, the Pandora's box he has opened, they will not be so easily destroyed. So let us brace ourselves. The task is twofold. The terrorist Trump must be defeated, must be destroyed, must be devoured at the ballot box. And then he and his enablers and his supporters and his collaborators and the Mike Lees and the William Barrs and the Sean Hannitys and the Mike Pences and the Rudy Giulianis and the Kyle Rittenhouses and the Amy Coney Barretts must be prosecuted and convicted and removed from our society while we try to rebuild it. and to rebuild the world Trump has nearly destroyed by turning it over to a virus. Remember it. Even as we dream of a return to reality and safety and the country for which our forefathers died, that the fight is not just to win an election, but to win it by enough to chase, at least for a moment, Trump and the maggots off the stage, and then try to clean up what they left. Remember it, even though to remember it means remembering that the fight does not end November 3rd, but in many ways will only begin that day.
I mean, to me, it sounds like something that you'd listen to surrounded by a radio after the war happened, and he's recruiting everybody to join. I mean, he's a nut. It sounds like a nut. It's resistance radio, and, you know, join the fight, and we're going to take out all these people, and he's naming them by name, and we're going to take them out. And I mean, how is that rhetoric okay, is my question. I'm not saying it should be illegal. I'm just saying, how is that in, if we're going to lecture on rhetoric, inspiring crazy people, how is anything that wacko just said not fall in the category of inspiring crazy people? Trump's a mass murderer. He's a terrorist. He's a tyrant. And all his people around him, all right, they're also crazy. They're also people that need to be punished, prosecuted, convicted, and removed from society. What does removed from society mean to you is my question. I mean, I know what it means to me. I know what it sounds like. It sounds like this is some post-apocalyptic movie, and Obermann is the leader of the resistance off in the mountains telling crazy people to get their guns and to go hunt down Amy Coney Barrett. That's what I hear. Now, granted, I watch a lot of TV and movies, but still. But how is that rhetoric okay is my question. And yet we're lectured that Trump's rhetoric is causing militia groups to want to go after the governor in a kidnap plot, even though they don't like him, even though the guy, the ringleader, comes out and says Trump's a tyrant. So which is it? Is it that rhetoric causes crazy people to do crazy things, or it doesn't? If it does, then Keith Olbermann is liable for anything anybody does, right? Or if we want to be adults about this and say, you know, people that are off their rocker are going to do things that are off their rocker because, you know, they're off their rocker, right? Speaking of crazy people that are out there as well, the big question that I have right now, all right, is whether or not we need to have another lockdown. And I've said to you before, we don't. There's no reason in my mind that we need to have another lockdown. There's nothing you can ever say to justify a plot to kidnap a governor. But the anger that's directed towards Gretchen Whitmer by people who are not sociopaths is valid. The people that don't want to kidnap her but want to see her out of office, it's valid because of the lockdowns. If you want to kidnap her because of lockdowns, it's not valid because you're a sociopathic nut job. But if you're angry at, say, Governor Phil Murphy because of the lockdowns, or Cuomo, or de Blasio, and you don't want to kidnap them, but you'd like to make a change in leadership, that's completely acceptable. Kidnapping, bad. Let's just go through it real quick. Kidnapping, bad. Voting them out of office, good. Okay? So I just want to make that clear. So I'm very, very clear. I'm denouncing kidnapping. So kidnapping plots against elected officials, bad. Plots to have them defeated at the ballot box, good. All right, if you're following at home, I want to be very clear on this. I don't want anyone to misunderstand my rhetoric. One more time. If you are a lunatic and you think kidnapping is good, you're a nutbag. If you are a sensible person who thinks we should vote against them, you have my blessing. All right, very good. So, the World Health Organization, Dr. David Nabarro, the World Health Organization Special Envoy on COVID-19, says we got to repeal the world leaders here. We got to stop with the lockdowns. So now the World Health Organization, the entity that we're told we got to follow in all things, is now coming out and saying no more lockdowns. Cut number 10.
Really important point by Professor Gupta. I want to say it again. We in the World Health Organization do not advocate lockdowns as a primary means of control of this virus. The only time we believe a lockdown is justified is to buy you time to reorganize, regroup, rebalance your resources, protect your health workers who are exhausted. But by and large, we'd rather not do it. Just look at what's happened to the tourism industry, for example, in the Caribbean or in the Pacific. because people aren't taking their holidays. Look what's happened to smallholder farmers all over the world because their markets have got dented. Look what's happening to poverty levels. It seems that we may well have a doubling of world poverty by next year. We may well have at least a doubling of child malnutrition because children are not getting meals at school and their parents in poor families are not able to afford it. This is a terrible, ghastly global catastrophe, actually. And so we really do appeal to all world leaders. Stop using lockdown as your primary control method. Develop better systems for doing it. Work together and learn from each other. But remember, lockdowns just have one consequence that you must never, ever belittle, and that is making poor people an awful lot poorer.
I agree. At the same time, I don't encourage you to kidnap leaders who lock people down. But I totally agree with him. And I think most people feel that way by now, that we don't need lockdowns. Lockdowns are not good. But remember this in the context of the 2020 election, right? Joe Biden has said he would lock it down again. He'd shut it down again. If the virus got out of hand, he would shut it down. He'd listen to the scientists. Well, there's a scientist right there, Dr. David Nabarro, the World Health Organization Special Envoy in COVID-19, saying no more lockdowns. By the way, Joe Biden also does not believe that you deserve to know his opinion on packing the Supreme Court. He doesn't think you deserve it. You little deplorable little non-entity, you. Joe Biden doesn't think you're worth hearing the answer to this question. I mean, sure, in a sane society, you should know the position that your potential president of the United States has on something as significant as changing the size of the United States Supreme Court, which would radically change the third branch of government. But he doesn't think you're worthy. He doesn't think you should hear that. He doesn't think you're worth it, I guess. Cut number 8.
To interview Biden one-on-one and ask him if he plans to pack the Supreme Court with more justices if he wins. Here was that exchange.
Sir, I've got to ask you about packing the courts. And I know that you said yesterday you aren't going to answer the question until after the election. But this is the number one thing that I've been asked about from viewers in the past couple of days.
Well, you've been asked by the viewers who are probably Republicans who don't want me continuing to talk about what they're doing to the court right now.
Well, sir, don't the voters deserve to know?
No, they don't. I'm not going to play his game. He'd love me to talk about, and I've already said something on Corpac. He'd love that to be the discussion instead of what he's doing now. He's about to make a pick in the middle of an election. First time it's ever been done. First time in history it's ever been done.
See, now, why the follow-up is not, so wait, you're really saying the voters don't deserve to know? Are you really saying that voters don't deserve to know your opinion on packing the court? Because I think it's a great question. Don't the voters deserve to know? No, they don't deserve to know. Why not? Well, because they're a bunch of rubes. That's why. Or a bunch of dummies. That's why. Wait, really? Do you really believe that, Mr. Vice President? Do you really believe that? You know, over the weekend, the 25th Amendment came up again. And the question, of course, of is it 25th Amendment bad again? So President Trump had a really interesting take on this, which is that when Nancy Pelosi brings up this bill to invoke the 25th Amendment, to have a panel to sit around, decide if Trump's crazy or not, to remove him from office, the president said this, and by the way, you may have also said this last week, because a number of you reached out to me and suggested the exact same thing. Cut number 5.
Well, I think she's talking about Joe Biden, because to be honest with you, he's the one that's got the problem, and obviously it's obvious to anybody that watches him speak. He's the one that got that has the problem, and they want to put a super radical left person in, like Kamala, who's further left than Bernie Sanders. And you know that whole thing is breaking up now because the left isn't getting what they want. All of a sudden, they're back into fracking and all the things that they talked about they wouldn't do, and now they're saying they're going to do them. And the left is very unhappy. I'm going to get a lot of people, because of my great policies on trade, they're going to, just like last time, Bernie Sanders people are going to vote for me because of what I've done on trade, because what I've done on trade is a miracle. And we have a long way to go because, frankly, they interrupted it with the impeachment hoax and various other things. But no, I think she's talking, and a lot of people think that she's talking about Joe Biden, getting him out. That's the way I view it.
I don't know about you, but it seems to me like the crazy is all on the left right now. This is Michael Moore. paying people a certain amount is an act of this, doing this is an act of this, doing this is an act of this. Again, if the premise here is that Trump's rhetoric is causing lunatics to act, what about the words of nutjobs like Keith Olbermann and Michael Moore? Cut number four.
There are other acts of violence that we need to be talking about leading up to this election. Paying people $7.25 an hour is an act of violence. Going to the Supreme Court to get rid of Obamacare so that millions will be uninsured and die as a result, that's an act of violence. Oh. Saying that we want to take away Roe v. Wade when 70% of the country supports Roe v. Wade, and forcing women back into back alley abortions, that's an act of violence. So, and who is doing this? These white men, Trump, are committing these acts of violence, and we need to see them as that.
You know what? I think that it's entirely reasonable to suggest that Joe Biden really could be removed by the 25th Amendment, because the truth of the matter is this. Joe Biden wants to pretend like he's this guy from a different era. He's the Democrat Party of John F. Kennedy. He's the normal party. He's not. I'm sorry, but he's the nominee of a party of extreme lockdowns, extreme rhetoric. I mean, the kind of stuff that Keith Olbermann and Michael Moore say, and the tactics of the left too, 25th Amendment, trying to remove the president, impeach the president. That's the craziness that is there on the left. I mean, Trump may come across goofy when he talks about he wanted to wear a Superman t-shirt, but you've got people literally now who've not only tried to topple a sitting president using investigations and impeachment, but you've got their spokespeople out there saying things like, we need to have Trump supporters prosecuted, convicted, and removed from society. I'm sorry, but I'll take a Superman t-shirt any day of the week over that kind of nutbaggery. You know what I mean? 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. The left is the party of crazy. They're the party of crazy. Come on. Biden can pretend he's a moderate, but you know better than that. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Okay, so as the show progresses and we're doing our hour of nonstop talking, we're not going anywhere because that's what we do. We just keep hanging out together for this hour, and it's a lot of fun. McCall's and Lock Service is our sponsor, and I'm so grateful for them because it may have happened before. You may have lost your car keys. Your key fob's broken, right? Well, then call McCall's and Lock Service. Tom, Chrissy, the entire team, they're the experts you need to repair, replace, reprogram original factory remotes, transponder keys, chip keys, and more. In addition to major makes, they're now able to program various BMW, Mercedes, Volkswagen, Audi vehicles. They'll help you while you wait, and the best part is they charge up to 50% below what you'd pay at a dealer. Over the past century, McCall's and Lock Service has become the largest locksmith in the Delaware Valley. They've done this while remaining family-owned and dedicated to delivering great customer service. They're a full-service locksmith, and they're there for whatever you need. Call McCall's and Lock Service today, 610-430-1500. 610-430-1500. McCall's and Lock Service is there for you, a small business, family-owned, and yet there for every one of your needs, business or residential. So please make them your first call. McCall's and Lock Service, 610-430-1500.
You're in the middle of 60 minutes of non-stop talk. This is the Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right. Great to be with you on this rainy Monday. Bonnie is in Oxford. Bonnie, good morning.
Hi, Rich. This is Ronnie. It's Ronnie with an R.
Oh, Ronnie. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for what you do. I just wanted to make a comment about the WHO statement release. It kind of put a lot of people at ease. I saw a lot of people were like, oh, that's great. The lockdowns are going to end. But I find it to be very nefarious. I think it's just a way of getting us to relax our defenses and kind of go, oh, they're looking out for us. But in actuality, they're just trying to set up a global control. So it's not just Whitmer or Wolf. They want to go after it globally. Everybody's going to get the vaccine. Everybody's going to wear a mask, you know.
I think the key, Ronnie, is when the World Health Organization comes out and says lockdowns are not the way to go, we should listen and we should not do more lockdowns.
Oh, I completely agree with the lockdown thing. I'm completely against, what we've been going through. What I'm saying is I think it's just a backdoor on another level.
Right. Well, thank you, Ronnie. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Have a great day. Look, you may be right. I don't know. I try not to deal in hypotheticals like that. You may be right. I don't know. All I know is that when the World Health Organization says no more lockdowns, I want Governor Murphy to listen. I want Governor Wolf to listen. I want Governor Cuomo to listen. I want these guys to listen. No more lockdowns. Kids should be in school. I read you the data earlier. Kids are not super spreaders. So open up the schools. No more lockdowns, period. Whether it's a nefarious secret plot by the World Health Organization or not, I don't want lockdowns. I don't care. I don't want any more lockdowns. And it's terrible for everybody, for the poor. I'm glad he mentioned the poor in that clip too, by the way. He mentioned the poor in that clip and he said it's really bad for the poor. It is. It's bad for a lot of people. You know, there's a story in my show sheet today about how these small business restaurants, have been suffering as they've watched, McDonald's boom, and they've watched all these other big fast food restaurants boom because they've been set up for takeout, drive-through service, and Uber Eats and everything else. And these small mom and pop restaurants, they have not been set up for this. Let's say good morning to Dawn, though, get some headlines. And man, this weather stinks. I got the kids inside all day because they're not in school because of Columbus Day and I guess you're watching movies all day today. Woohoo!
It's a movie day, definitely. 54 degrees. Zioli Show News Live. Let's talk about real acts of violence. In Philadelphia, which has among the highest homicide rate in the nation, 9 people, according to police, victimized by another violent weekend in Philadelphia. And we're on track for a record tragic homicide rate this year. Naked ballots, Pennsylvania, the first to disqualify those naked ballots. That's in the news. Rudy Giuliani will be in South Philadelphia tonight for an Italians for Trump event on this Columbus Day, which is a paid holiday for city leaders. All city officers and public city schools, which are virtual, are closed today. And just in time for this Indigenous Peoples Day, President Donald Trump signing Savannah's Act into law, which promises justice to missing and murdered Native Americans. And no more Eskimo pie. The ice cream gets rebranded with a new name, dropping its, quote, derogatory name. We'll be talking about Eskimo pie this morning. But first, the NBC 10 First Alert forecast for today. Yes, it's raw. It's rainy with a high of only 59 degrees. Be safe as you drive today. And we should start to dry out tomorrow afternoon. I'm Dawn. This is Yoli Show News Live Headlines. We're always on the radio.com app.
Thank you, Dawn. Appreciate it. By the way, I saw this. Let me get your womanly take on this. I guess NJ.com has their advice column. It's called Ask Amy. Amy Dickinson. So Ask Amy. Amy, wife says COVID means no contact. My wife is afraid to touch me since the pandemic started. But no hugging and, of course, no relations.
Yeah.
She says, Amy, I even took the COVID test and the antibody test to reassure her. I have tested negative both times, and yet my wife maintains no hugging and, of course, no relations. Is this normal? Signed, lonely husband.
Aww.
Now, I'm going to ask Dawn. Dawn, is this normal? Would you like to respond
that
to
is
lonely
not
husband?
Normal. That is not normal. This wife is not even, she's not even playing possum. She's just coming out and going, nope, COVID, stay away. So this is not a good marriage. It's not a good sign at all.
You think there might be something else going on here, in other words?
Could be. Might want to use one of those, I don't know, wife tracker sites or whatever you're not supposed to use. Because she might be touching somebody else.
Put a GPS device in the trunk or something.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, Amy's advice, which is much more kind than Dawn's advice. If you and your wife have basically formed a germ pod together with both of you in the same household and maintaining sound hygiene, both limiting outside interaction and both wearing masks and social distancing while you're out, I would say that her behavior is not normal. It isn't rational. The idea is to follow CDC guidelines and common sense. The pandemic has thrown most people somewhat off course. For some people, the pandemic has triggered some extreme anxieties and obsessions. Fortunately, therapeutic help is readily available by phone or video chat. There are many ways to connect for help. She says, I think it's also obvious and necessary for you to do some self-reflection.
Yes.
Might there be a reason or reasons other than the pandemic for your wife to keep her distance?
Yeah.
I've thought about that, Dawn, as well, and I've thought about this. Is this a guy who, since the pandemic, has only worn sweatpants?
At least he's wearing pants.
True.
I think half the country's just not wearing pants.
Because in the wife's defense, if this guy's just wearing sweatpants every day and those sweatpants have gotten larger and larger, you know what I'm saying? The waist is protruded more and more. I can kind of understand why the wife's like, you know what? We're going to wait till the vaccine and for you to go back to Planet Fitness.
I just think that I disagree. I think love is love. If you love your spouse,
love is
if they're
love is love.
You know, if they're wearing the sweatpants, it's okay. But I just think
guy comes out scratching himself, hasn't showered in months, got the sweatpants on. He's like, "You want to get some loving or what?
Love
get
is
some
love.
Pandemic love going on."
COVID
or maybe
love.
It's like a situation where they're both working at the kitchen table and she realizes that he has this awful habit of, like, I don't know, chewing his lips or something, and she hates him and wants to beat him over the head with his MacBook.
Chewing his lips.
I don't know.
No, I think there's more. I think there's more going on here. That marriage
there's
is
more going on here.
That marriage is in trouble. Well, we've seen this escalated divorce rate, right?
I know. She's like, listen, we're not going to have relations until there's a vaccine and 95% effectiveness and herd immunity and no one, like, her standards are higher than Murphy's standards.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
Bill, is there something else going on in this marriage? You think you're a newlywed.
Yeah, there's a ton of red flags in this scenario. Like, there's nothing to, it's pretty self-evident of what's going on.
This is like the marriage where, you know, the wife's like, listen, we can't have relations. You just went to the grocery store. So now we need at least 14-day quarantine.
Yes.
So you stay in your room and I'll stay in mine.
And he just
and then she sneaks out of the house at night. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yes. She's either sneaking out or her divorce attorney is saying, just hold on. We're getting our ducks in a row. I don't know.
Hold on. He gets his end of the year bonus. Then.
Yes.
Like, I get being being cautious and being but as you said, they've established their own quarantine bubble within themselves. Like, or what was it, germ bubble, whatever the articles say.
Yeah.
Like, she's looking for an excuse that doesn't make sense.
I love it.
Poor guy.
Hope she stretched before that.
Oh, man, it's just absolutely amazing. Amazing. Well,
COVID.
I think that this poor bastard, you know what I mean? Anyway, we've got Selena Zito coming on the show in a few minutes. Selena, of course, is a great writer. She knows PA very, very well. And by the way, the Stalkers, you have a new baby and you don't really, you have your own germ pod too. So everything's good over there, right?
Everything's good here. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you were very quiet there. So I didn't know.
He
if
was.
Greg was like,
well, I mean,
weird.
No, I didn't. I mean,
if
you asked Dawn and Bill,
like,
you didn't.
Hmm,
no. Weird. No, you asked Dawn and Bill. You didn't ask me. So I didn't say anything. I'm not going to just jump in.
But you're allowed to jump in. So you see, I thought your silence was more like, that's eerily familiar to me.
This started.
Yeah, I should just quiet now and not say anything.
Steph is like, cause COVID. Yeah. And I just had a baby, so back off.
Because COVID, exactly.
Yeah, it's already,
so stay in your basement with your 80s crap and just enjoy it all. Listen, USA Insulation, winter's coming, as you know. Do you want to make sure that the walls and everything in your house is nice and warm this winter? I bet you do, right? You don't want to waste money, do you? No, of course not. So do what I did, USA Insulation, usainsulation.net. They'll come to your home and inject their premium foam insulation into your walls from the outside, and when they do that, they create a foam barrier that keeps all that air you're paying for inside the house, and then the air you don't want in on the outside where it belongs. So what does this mean in terms of money? Well, it saved us a ton of money. We have used so much less electricity and gas than this time last year because of the great work of USA Premium Foam Insulation. So don't wait. You can get up to $1,000 right now. There's a tax credit for up to $500, and they're matching that with a $500 early bird discount. 267-551-1900, 267-551-1900, or usainsulation.net, usainsulation.net. If it saved me money and it's made our house more comfortable, I imagine it's going to do the exact same for you. So reach out to them today, 267-551-1900 or usainsulation.net.
You're listening to 60 Minutes of Nonstop Talk. The Rich Cioli Show. On Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. Live from the Malamud & Associates Law Studios.
So it's always interesting to me just how much Pennsylvania matters in everything. Really, when it comes down to it, how much Pennsylvania matters. Well, there's somebody who's been writing about Pennsylvania and the effect in the presidential election, and she got it so right in 2016. Of course, I'm talking about Selina Zito. She's a national political writer for the Washington Examiner. Her columns are in the New York Post, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. She's also a very successful author. Selina Zito, good morning. Welcome back to Philadelphia.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. Although I'm not in the Post-Gazette, but I am in the Wall Street Journal.
Wall Street Journal. You. I mean, it's all the major publications of the day. So, and of course, Washington Examiner, my personal favorite. So there you go. Now, let me ask you this question. You wrote recently that in Pennsylvania, it's really going to come out to turnout. You talked to a political science professor. You examined polls. You had some very interesting conclusions, including who the new silent Trump voter might be in this cycle. But first, I want to ask you this. We look at the polls now. The polls look really bad for President Trump, but the polls also looked really bad in 2016. What's the difference, if any?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. If I were a viewer at home and someone, you know, an expert came on and said, well, it comes down to turnout, they're probably like, well, of course it does. But what we don't understand is what that turnout is going to be. And that's the similarity that 2020 shares with 2016. Pollsters, when they were deciding what their universe was going to be with who to poll and who to survey, didn't account for the amount of energy and support coming from counties like Washington or Northampton or Luzerne or Westmoreland counties who were tepid for Mitt Romney. They were still more culturally conservative, but they were tepid for Mitt Romney. The Obama administration and the campaign did an effective job of taking his most valuable quality, which is that as a businessman, and turned it into something that was untrustworthy, creating this idea that he was going to be the guy who didn't create a new job. He was going to be the guy who brought the box to your desk and would score you out. So these voters didn't turn out for Romney. But the switch towards conservatism was already evident. So these counties showed up. All they needed was 2,000 more votes in 2016 to outweigh whatever happens to Philly in her color counties. So what you're looking at today is that same amount needs to turn out. I have no doubt that that's going to happen. I've been to all 67 of our counties twice. I feel like Arlen Specter. But, what they need is about 1% above that number. And if they're able to hit that, along with the counties that go across the top of our state, they are conservative. They didn't show up as much for Donald Trump. They tend to be in the agriculture business and more evangelical, and they looked at him more as a New York liberal because of the way he talked. Now, thanks to the trade deal, in particular with farmers, he has activated and motivated them, but they need to turn out in support of him to outweigh the Philly large numbers.
How about black voters in this election, Selina Zito? The African-American vote, where does all that come down so far?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. The last poll I saw, and I'm going to forget which one it was, there was a lot of sort of undecided among the African-American community. And I think that is a clue as to where they might go. They may be the new shy Trump voter. President Trump has spoken directly to that voter, has done a lot of outreach within the African-American community. That's something that you see on the national level in terms of, like, press coverage. But, you know, on the most granular level, those things are happening. He needs to, if he is able to earn more than, I don't know, if he's able to earn like 10% of their of the African American vote through talking about his policies, you know, he that would also have a big impact on the election in our state.
So, Selena Zito, I have to ask you, you called it right for 2016. You predicted Trump was going to win Pennsylvania. Are you prepared to make a prediction this time around yet?
Well, 2020 is a little bit different in that there literally is a bomb dropped every day. We never quite know what's going to happen. So I will say there's no way that Joe Biden is beating Donald Trump in this state by the numbers that Barack Obama earned in 2008, which is what the polling is showing. But I would say it's a jump ball. But I think it's really important to realize that while Joe Biden has to win Pennsylvania, Donald Trump does not have to win Pennsylvania to win the election. And if it's close in Pennsylvania on election night, if it's a, I don't think we'll know here in our state for a week, but, and that's being optimistic, but if it's close in Pennsylvania on election night or in the polls leading into election night, Pennsylvania is 5 points more Democratic than Wisconsin, Michigan, Arizona, Texas, Florida, and Ohio and Iowa. If it's close here, that means he's won those other states.
Joe Biden has.
No, Donald Trump has.
Well, that's the exact opposite of what everybody's saying right now.
Well, if it's close, if Trump is, if Biden is winning Pennsylvania, that means the other important electoral states have already gone for Trump.
Wow, that's amazing. That's,
so
that's,
Pennsylvania that's a, is a barometer.
Right. Yeah, no. Right. I mean, that's exactly it's fantastic news. And if it's this close, if it's a jump ball, then really this election is nowhere near being over like what the pollsters are saying.
Right. And we have no idea. We understand the shy Trump voter. Certainly, it's difficult to say that you support him. Throwing a sign in your yard means you might not get invited to that barbecue or block party, right? Nobody's going to invite your family to come down, sit around the fire and have fun. But, you know, we don't know what that number is. We also don't know if there's a shy Biden voter, people who, you know, although, yeah, never mind. There's not a shy Trump Biden voter.
not a shy Biden voter. No, definitely not. That's, I think you're rewarded if you are if you put a sign on your yard. Selena Zito, thanks for coming on the show today. Your latest piece: rural Pennsylvania turns more red, but is it enough for Trump? New York Post, CNN, and national political reporter for the Washington Examiner. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Okay, so last night on Saturday Night Live, no, not last night, Saturday Night Live, obviously, comedian Bill Burr was on. Now, I didn't watch the monologue live, so I watched it after, the next day. And there were a lot of jokes that he made on there, and he's now coming under fire for it. Greg, explain to me a little bit about how he's coming under fire.
So he did, it was a rapid succession of like four jokes, four different premises in a 4-minute you know, monologue where he talks about cancel culture and John Wayne, white women, and how they've kind of taken over the woke movement, even though they're part of it, and gay pride. And Twitter just went, he was misogynistic, he was racist, he was every name under the book that they want him. They think he should have never hosted Saturday Night Live. I mean, he got in a lot of, and anybody who knows Bill Burr, I've been a fan of his since 2006. He came to Philly in 2006 with a different radio station, and basically they heckled him. So he did a 12-minute stand-up thing where he just basically torched Philadelphia and roasted the crowd, and it actually won them over at the end. So he's used to these kind of hostile environments, and I think he kind of thrives on it. So I think he knew the audience was going to be more, you know, not this type of, you know, acceptance of what he says. So I think that's why he kind of went full
throat. Has Saturday Night Live apologized yet? They have not.
No. I don't.
I'm waiting for that to happen.
Yeah, it's a good, the thing with these monologues is they have to be pre-approved. So Lorne Michaels is still involved in it. So I would assume that they knew what he was going to do before, but who knows? You know what I mean? I don't know, because this is very out of the ordinary for what they normally do.
All right. Well, let's take a little bit of a listen here. This is Bill Burr slamming cancel culture, which, of course, you know, is the whole idea that you get canceled if you are on the wrong side of the cool kids table in terms of what is politically correct and what's not politically correct. Let's start with 1A.
I don't know. I'll probably get canceled for doing that joke. You know, how stupid is that cancel thing? They're literally running out of people to cancel. They're going after dead people now. They're trying to cancel John Wayne. It's like, yeah, dude, God did that 40 years ago. They're all up in arms. They're like, did you hear what he said in that interview in Playboy in 1970? Can you believe that? It's like, yeah. He was born in 1907. That's what these people sounded like. You never talked to your grandparents and brought up the wrong subject, and all of a sudden it went off the rails. Like, oh, grandma, just keep making the cookies. Yeah, you don't bring up race or religion with your grandparents. You keep it simple. Anyway, I don't know.
Oof, did not get the reception he wanted.
No. The crowd's already turning. You can tell the politically correct Saturday Night Live crowd's already beginning to turn on him.
By the way,
anyone after what's that?
The crowd at Saturday Night Live is they have a live crowd. I think it's less than 100 people. I think a lot of it is staff, and I think that they're getting around having a gathering by paying the audience to be there. I think they're paying them like $150 to sit in the audience.
So it sounds like, so they were basically employees at that point.
Basically,
so it's like a workplace.
Yes.
This is Bill Burr's joke on white women, cut 1B.
Let's talk white women. White women, you're amazing. Amazing, your accomplishments over the last few years. I got to tell you, the way white women somehow hijack the woke movement, generals around the world should be analyzing this. Just to refresh your memory, the woke movement was supposed to be about people of color not getting opportunities, the at-bats that they deserved, finally making that happen. And it was about that for about 8 seconds. And then somehow, white women swung their Gucci-booted feet over the fence of oppression and stuck themselves at the front of the line. I don't know how they did it. I've never heard so much complaining in my life from white women. My leg is so hurt with my SUV and my heated seats. You have no idea what it's like to be me. Trash and white guys, the nerve. Where's the camera? The nerve of you white women. I don't want to speak ill of my bitches here, okay? I don't. But let's go back in history here, okay? You guys stood by us toxic white males through centuries of our crimes against humanity. You rolled around in the blood muddy, and occasionally when you wanted to sneak off and hook up with a black dude, if you got caught, you said it wasn't consensual. Yeah, that's what you did. That's what you did. So why don't you shut up, sit down next to me, and take your talking to.
Yeah, you could definitely feel the uncomfortable. I mean, If comedy's about making you feel uncomfortable, that guy definitely can make you feel uncomfortable, right?
Yes. I love him. I love him. So great. I love everything about him.
And that's the beauty of the jokes is that really, if you think about it, he's mocking white people too, yes. But they're too upset and offended to understand that.
And
right?
Yes. And by the way, everybody should watch his special Paper Tiger on Netflix. It is. I mean, it's like he thrives in making audiences uncomfortable, which I think is a lost art in comedy these days.
Oh, yep. It definitely is, because now it's all about making the audience feel good by telling them the kind of things that you like they're expecting you to say. And then you just reaffirm them.
Amen.
Comedian just doesn't make you uncomfortable. That's the point of it, you know? Yes. And in the process, by the way, he's also mocking white people, but they just, again, they can't see that because they're too offended by his comments to even recognize that, because the truth is that most of the people there are driving SUVs and wearing Gucci, so.
Exactly. This next one is what really, I mean, well, the white women and this next one is what really got him in hot water with the gay
movement. This is the gay pride stuff?
Yes, yeah.
All right, cut 1C.
So I finally walked up to this old New York door guy, and I was just like, dude, what's going on? What's with all these people here? And he was just like, oh, no, don't worry. He goes, it's June. He goes, it's Pride Month. And I'm like, what's that? You know, I'm 52. I never heard of it, right? They didn't have that when I was a kid. He goes, oh, it's Gay Pride Month. And I was just like, oh! Dude, you know when you're just like stuck in the Matrix and you just can't, everything's just pressed up, you can't see anything, and then somebody gives you that little nugget of information that just pulls it back? Like, why is it so crowded? It's Gay Pride Month. Tank tops! 0% body fat. Two guys kissing. Rainbow flags. Ah! I didn't know that. That's what I learned. The month of June is Gay Pride Month. That's a little long, don't you think? For a group of people that were never enslaved. How did they get all of June? Dude, black people were actually enslaved. They get February. They get 28 days of overcast weather. Sun goes down at 4 in the afternoon. Everybody's shivering. Nobody wants to go on the parade.
That's a sin.
Yeah. How about you put them up with July? These are equator people. Give them the sun for 31 days. God. This gay black people, they could celebrate from June 1st, June 31st, 61 days of celebrating. All right, that's all my time. We got a great show for you guys, everybody.
Canceled. Done. He's done. Saturday Night Live, I'm sure at any moment, is going to issue a full and retraction, cancel the episode. The episode will be scrubbed from the archives. Yes.
I'm going to have to listen.
Like,
to
it podcast. Never happened, right?
I know what we do, and even pulling these clips, I was just like, oof, like, this is, like, but I love this type of comedy. I love making people uncomfortable.
This is a show that keeps people informed about what's going on in society writ large, and all we're doing is passing the information along.
Of course.
So, you make your determinations. I, for one, find it incredibly offensive. FanDuel Sportsbook. Listen, FanDuel's got you covered for all the action coming up in all the games, including the NFL, by the way. So check out FanDuel, and they've got great bets on there to make the games even more fun. I also think, too, what's really fun about FanDuel Sportsbook is that when it comes to the action, you can try the bets risk-free. That's right, risk-free. All NFL season long. They can do a parlay bet, and the payouts are even bigger when you win. FanDuel will refund the first same game parlay you lose in any NFL game each week up to $10, which means you can bet a different parlay risk-free every NFL week all season long. That's right. Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, Sunday games, you name it. And if you can get $10 back if you don't win. So FanDuel is the only sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, by the way, that has the same game parlay. So if you don't already have a FanDuel account, just use promo code RICH when you sign up so they know I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook promo code RICH. You must be 21 and older, present New Jersey or Pennsylvania. Refund issued, non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Terms apply. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
60 minutes.
minutes of nonstop talk. This is the Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, so let's say good morning to Dawn and check in on this very, very rainy Monday. Good morning, Dawn.
Hey, good morning. We have 54 degrees. It is rainy and raw. I'll have that forecast in just a moment. So I do have, there's so much going on today. We have naked ballots in Pennsylvania. It becomes the first state to disqualify those naked ballots, which we've talked a lot about. We have Rudy Giuliani will be in South Philadelphia tonight for an Italians for Trump event.
Where is that Italians for Trump event, by the way?
It's in South Philadelphia.
Olive Garden?
Stop.
Kidding. Just kidding.
Which it is Columbus Day. You know, it's a paid holiday here. Just in time for Indigenous Peoples Day, we have no more Eskimo pie, by the way. So they're joining, you know, Aunt Jemima's.
Is pie now, or is it Eskimo now?
It's going to be rebranded as Edie's Pie.
Oh, Edie's Pie.
So they said that it's a derogatory name to say Eskimo.
Right.
This is what they're saying.
Eskimo is derogatory, but pie, I find pie offensive as a former pie. Fat kid, just for the record.
One of my favorite stories is this. A judge has ruled on a case. It's actually a two-year-old case where a Pennsylvania man broke up with his longtime girlfriend 1 week after they bought a winning $100,000 lottery ticket together. It was a winning ticket, and then he left. And so Jeffrey, he left Ruth Ann. Ruth Ann then sued, and the judge says, no, you bought this together. You must split it 50-50.
Wow. So a lot of good. People,
yeah,
I
so
feel
they,
like that's fair.
Yeah, it's fair. They live
that's
together.
Absolutely fair.
You know, we also have Google releasing its list of the most popular Halloween costumes. And you have all the normal witch, dinosaur. Those are the top two, Harley Quinn, rabbit, and clown. But for kids and teens, Cobra Kai, Dungeon Master, The Mandalorian, Yoda. We have Space Cowgirl. Not sure if it's a backwards cowgirl. Inflatable Shark or wow. Firefighter. That's a callback to another era.
It certainly is a callback. And you'll be called back to HR after the show. So enjoy
what?
That.
Halloween costumes. There's this water report. This is a new report from Consumer Reports making it's gone viral. They found toxic chemicals in several popular brands of bottled water, especially carbonated ones.
Oh, we should do a water tasting. See if you can taste them.
Get Dr. Maz. So
see if you can taste the water chemicals. Great.
They found toxic PFAS chemicals in popular brands like Whole Foods Starkey Spring Water, Deer Park Natural Spring Water, and several sparkling water brands like La Croix Perrier. So they found arsenic, lead, mercury, and cadmium. That brings
a little bit of strawberry flavor as well. Now with more cadmium.
Which brings us to my final story, a THC-infused seltzer water.
So ooh, I like that.
Lemon and cannabis infused seltzer. It's a new development from Pabst. This is like Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Yeah.
Pabst Labs. And they say they're a separate company from PBR. So there are 5 milligrams of THC, in other words, marijuana, weed, whatever. But it's like a liquid form of a marijuana edible. So there's 5 milligrams of THC in each can. A 4-pack costs $24. But you can only get it right now in California.
Of course.
Yeah. My favorite part of the story is that it started by former PBR employees who were, quote unquote, experimenting with THC infused drinks. So they, in the name of, you know, in the name of science.
Right.
They had to drink it.
Well, look, you got to do your job.
That's right.
What are you going to say? You got to do what you got to do, you know?
The NBC 10 First Alert forecast today, unfortunately.
By the way, Millennial informs me that the rally, the Italian rally will be at the 2300 Arena on South Swanson Street in South Philly, 5 p.m. on Monday. Monday's event comes approximately 3 weeks before Election Day, November 3rd. So that's where it's going to be.
So there you have it.
The post rally will be at the Olive Garden at Deptford, New Jersey.
We have on this on the NBC 10 First Alert forecast. We finally on Wednesday we'll get some sunshine. Okay,
good.
So tonight, you know, it's going to still be rainy. Be careful out there, as Mama Zioli says. Be careful, baby.
I'm Dawn. This is the Ellie Show News Live. We're always on the radio.com app.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. In about a half hour, Amy Coney Barrett will be before the United States Senate. I'm going to share with you what her opening statement is going to be about. I, for one, am very, very happy with her points here, which I will share with you in a matter of moments. The question, of course, in this election is entirely all about swing voters, right? Those voters who are on the fence. And I like to call them uncommitted voters. They're voters who may not have committed to either candidate in 2016. Now they have to make a choice in 2020. Where do they go? Who do they back? What do they do? Now, over the weekend, ABC News had a very fascinating insight into this, I thought. Really, it was all about these undecided voters in Arizona, right? These uncommitted voters and where they're going now in the battleground state of Arizona. I'm going to take a little listen to this. I'm going to talk about it as we go through it, but cut 11.
I'll put your chair down.
Even though the temperature still registers in the triple digits, every afternoon between 4 and 6, Linda and Tom Rawls walk to the edge of their dirt driveway in Carefree, Arizona, and hold up their Joe Biden signs.
Did we see you yesterday?
Yeah. We're out here every day, 4 hours a day.
They get honks, thumbs ups, the occasional middle finger, and they wave back at them all.
It's our therapy.
It's better than sitting on the couch, watching the news, doing nothing.
Lifelong Republicans until 2016, the Rawls weren't fans of Donald Trump, so they voted for Gary Johnson. But this November, they'll proudly vote Democrat.
Is there anything in particular that puts you over the edge?
So we were sort of already there, but certainly Charlottesville is the time when I said enough.
Because right now in the Republican Party, if you're not a fan in the cult of Donald Trump, you're not welcome, and they will tell you that.
You don't feel welcome?
Oh, no.
Not at all.
As a matter of fact, when we sit out there with our signs, one of the things we hear the most often is go home. And we're trying to figure out, since we're at the end of our own driveway, where home is supposed to be.
Arizona State Public Affairs Professor Dr. Tom Riley says independents have turned this formerly bright red state purple and could help push it blue this time around. As a third of the state's electorate, independents are trending towards Biden by a whopping 25 points in the latest New York Times Siena poll, 53-28.
What we're seeing is general frustration to the divisiveness that is occurring in Washington and across the United States, and people are searching for a different way.
That's especially noticeable among Latino voters.
They're just taking it for granted and thinking, oh, okay, well, they're Latinos and they're going to go ahead.
Now let's stop
and
it for a second here. Now, let's understand a couple things about this, right? Those voters who you first heard from, they're definitely not undecided. They're not uncommitted. They're passionate against Trump, right? So they're passionate voters against Trump. They just happen to have voted third party in 2016, but they're not exactly looking at this and kind of taking it all in and trying to figure out where they want to go. Like, they've made up their mind a long time ago. They bought the lie of Charlottesville and they're running with it, and that's the end of it. All right, keep going.
Democrat, that's not the case.
Carolyn Van Oosten doesn't like how the Latino voters have traditionally been taken for granted. Born and raised in the Dominican Republic, she came to the U.S. during her college years. She voted for Obama in 08 and has ping-ponged between parties ever since. Despite being disappointed in a lack of focus on the issues, she will vote for Biden.
A lot of the Democratic Party has been neglecting to really address that issue of immigration, and they're really up for grabs, and they are having a hard time making a decision of which way to go because no one is addressing the issues that matter to them most.
Maricopa County, which
and
includes
stop it
Phoenix,
for a second there. Do you know that the governor of Puerto Rico has backed Donald Trump? And there are a lot of Puerto Ricans in this country. Of course, they're U.S. citizens, so they'll get to vote, even though Puerto Rico doesn't matter in the Electoral College. But Puerto Ricans in America, for example, they can vote. And the endorsement of the governor of Puerto Rico is really huge. There are a lot of Latino voters. In fact, Joe Biden is struggling with Latino voters in places like Florida, for example. Outside of immigration, and what ABC News doesn't bring up here is the issue of education. There's a lot of life voters in the Latino community. They don't, of course, bring that up. They think it's just about immigration. But remember something. In 2016, we were told Latino voters were going to deliver Hillary Clinton the presidency. What happened? The opposite happened, right? The opposite happened. Go ahead, keep going.
As by far the largest voting population in the state, and the county went for Trump by 3 points in 2016.
He follows through on what he says.
Barbie Ruin also voted for Gary Johnson in 2016, but now likes what she's seen from President Trump.
Since coronavirus has come out, our economy has stayed fairly stable. And that to me is astonishing, especially considering the number of people who are out of jobs because they can't go in. He's allowing the states to make the decisions for themselves, which is what it should be.
The one thing we found all the voters we talked to now, here want.
That voter right there, right, I think is really telling. I think there's a lot more voters out there who voted for Gary Johnson. They lean libertarian, conservative. They recoiled at Donald Trump in 2016. But they're happy now with a lot of things. Judges, the courts, Amy Coney Barrett's going to make them happy. Letting the states decide what they want to do as opposed to the president just mandating it across the board. No new wars, right? Bringing the troops home. All of these factors that factored in. Remember, Gary Johnson did very well in Pennsylvania for a third-party candidate. Where do those votes go? I think overwhelmingly they go to Trump. I think that the couple at the beginning who said they voted for Gary Johnson, I think they're the outliers. I think most people that voted Libertarian, the third Libertarian candidate in that election, this time around, most, not all, most, I think, go to Trump. That's a huge advantage going into this election to pick up those voters from 2016. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Listen, when it comes to your home, maybe you want to get out. I don't blame you. A lot of people are fleeing places like California and New York and, yes, Philadelphia. Over the weekend, Bill Maher said something effective like, I don't know what I get from my taxes in California. The answer is nothing. What are you getting for your taxes in Philadelphia? Probably nothing, right? High crime and you want to get out. Well, Easy Homes PA can make that process easy and hassle-free. Easy Homes PA will buy your home as is, no realtor fee, no escrow fees, no repairs, just sell as is. No open houses with strangers walking through your house. Any size, any condition, any price. Easy Homes PA will make the timing work on your timeline. So close in days or close in months. You're going to get a very fair offer and avoid all the hassles of a traditional sale. So if you're ready to sell your house, the easy solution is to call easyhomespa.com. You want to sell your house today? 215-608-6005. 215-608-6005 or easyhomespa.com. It's easy with a Z. Easyhomespa.com. Make home selling a no-brainer. 215-608-6005 or easyhomespa.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.